Welcome to the Back 'em Down Podcast. It's your host, Coach Johnson. In this episode, we're going to be recapping some of the recent trades that have taken place in the NBA as things were opened up a few days ago, as well as talk about some of the biggest rumors that are circulating throughout the league at the moment. Now let's catch you up on some of the recent trades that have taken place in the NBA. The first trade that got everything started off was the trade between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Lakers, as they reached an agreement to trade Dennis Schroeder for the 28th pick in this year's NBA draft. As expected, Danny Green will also be a part of this deal, but this deal cannot become official until the Lakers make the pick in this year's NBA draft. I would expect the Thunder to expand this trade, maybe it become a three-team trade, or they're just going to flip Danny Green for more assets. It's a big pickup by the Lakers to get a third scorer next to LeBron and Anthony Davis that can shoulder some of the load, some of the offensive load during the season, but also in the playoffs. Next up, we had the Detroit Pistons trading Bruce Brown to the Brooklyn Nets for Dezana Musa and a 2021 second-round pick. I really like this move for Brooklyn. It's going to fall under the radar with some of the big moves that have been made. But the Brooklyn Nets pick up a very good perimeter defender that can really help them off the bench moving forward, guarding some of the wings in the league. Next up, we had the biggest trade so far, or 1A, however you want to view it, as the Oklahoma City Thunder traded Chris Paul to the Phoenix Suns for Ricky Rubio, Kelly Oubre, Ty Jerome, Jalen Lecque, and draft compensation, which turned out to be another first-round pick for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Big trade for Phoenix as they now have their own big three with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton, which I think is going to work wonders in Phoenix with the coaching that they have and head coach Monty Williams, who has a great relationship with Chris Paul and has really helped the Suns organization turn a corner a little bit as they went undefeated in the bubble. I think it's going to work wonders for Devin Booker to, you know, relinquish some of the ball handling responsibilities with the Suns. And I'm very intrigued to see the pick and roll game between Chris Paul and DeAndre Ayton as well. And I think it's going to open things up for Cameron Johnson and Mikal Bridges too. I think it would have been smarter for the Phoenix Suns to hold off on completing this trade until moratorium, as they would have been able to take care of their guys that are free agents this year in Dario Saric and Aaron Baines. But now they're going to have to act as a team over the cap to re-sign those guys, which they'll still be able to. But they should have gave themselves a little bit more flexibility. It's a good trade for the Thunder as they're able to pick up three young players in Kelly Oubre, who's going to fit in quite well next to Darius Bazley, Lou Dort, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, as well as have two, you know, players in Ty Jerome and Jalen Lecque, who can carve out a role for themselves on this young team and be able to learn, you know, on the court instead of watching from a distance. I do think that they'll end up flipping Ricky Rubio for more assets later down the line. And just looking at what the Thunder have been able to stockpile in terms of draft picks moving forward, for this draft they have the Nuggets first-round pick and the Lakers first-round pick. In 2021 they have their own first-round pick, the Miami Heat's first-round pick, and then they can pick swap with the Houston Rockets, depending on who has the better pick. In 2022, they have their own first-round pick, as well as the Clippers' first-round pick and the Phoenix Suns' first-round pick. In 2023, they have their own first-round pick, as well as a pick swap with the Clippers and the Miami Heat first-round pick as well. Then we move on to 2024, where they have their own first-round pick, have the Clippers' first-round pick, and a Houston first-round pick as well. And then in 2026, they have their own first-round pick, another Clippers first-round pick and a Houston first-round pick. So Sam Presti's done a tremendous job of stockpiling assets to, you know, whether he decides to group them together in a trade for a, you know, higher draft pick in this draft or an upcoming draft, or if he decides to use them in a deal where he trades Steven Adams and is able to go get a big-time player and maybe have to attach one of the young players that he just received in this Phoenix trade to make that move. But he's done a great job, and the Thunder are in full rebuild mode at this point. The next big trade that took place was that the Milwaukee Bucks decided to trade Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, and three first-round picks to the New Orleans Pelicans for Drew Holiday. They're going all in and making sure Giannis knows that they are going to make moves to help him win a title in Milwaukee. And it's risky because now they're gutting their future by sending the Pelicans three first-round picks. And just like the Thunder, the Pelicans are stockpiling assets as well. But they also have a lot of young talent to work with, too. I would be surprised if they don't flip Eric Bledsoe for some more assets to a team like the Clippers, who are in need of a new point guard. But it's going to be very interesting to see how Drew Holiday meshes with Giannis Antetokounmpo and how that duo does moving forward. The next move that took place was the Houston Rockets trading what was their biggest trade deadline splash last season of Robert Covington to the Portland Trailblazers for Trevor Ariza, a 2020 first-round pick, and a 2021 first-round pick as well. I like this move for Portland, putting Rocco next to Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, giving them a wing defender who can also provide some offense and take some of those tougher defense assignments away from Gary Trent Jr. and Melo if they re-sign him as well. And I think that's going to allow Damian and CJ to, you know, give more to themselves, you know, on the offensive side of the ball, not that they don't already, but it's going to free them up from guarding some of the tougher assignments, you know, in the Western Conference, because at this point it's such a loaded conference that you want to try to do whatever you can to have your stars as healthy as possible. But also like this for Houston. I mean, they are giving up one of their, you know, top three, top four players in Robert Covington, but they're getting back a few of the assets that they lost in the Chris Paul Russell Westbrook trade a year ago. The next move that took place involved the Milwaukee Bucks again, as they traded Dante DiVincenzo, Ersan Ilyasova, and DJ Wilson to Sacramento for Bogdan Bogdanovic in a sign-and-trade deal. This is monumental for the Bucks as they make another strong move to show Giannis that they are going to continue to make moves to put the best possible team around him to go win a championship this next season and convince him to sign the Supermax extension that everyone is talking about at the moment. So now you have a Milwaukee Bucks team that has Drew Holiday as your point guard, Bogdan Bogdanovic as your two guard. Chris Middleton will probably slide over to the three, Giannis at the four, and then Brook Lopez at the five. And that's about as good as a starting five that you're going to have in the NBA right now. You have shooting in Middleton, Bogdanovic, Lopez, the space the floor out for Giannis, as well as Holiday. He's a very good shooter. And, you know, they're able to keep their identity as a defensive team because Holiday is probably the best, you know, perimeter defender in the NBA that doesn't get talked about enough. And so, you know, Holiday can take some of the load off of Giannis in closing games because he's struggled to do that. And that's why the Milwaukee Bucks have struggled to advance in the playoffs, because Giannis hasn't been able to close out games so far in his career. And, you know, some of that will come down to his player development this offseason. But I also think Drew Holiday will be able to offset some of that load that is placed on him with his offensive spark. I will be back shortly to wrap up the show after a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. Now let's talk about the recent news, rumors that have been, you know, circulating around the NBA. Maybe the most recent one that has came out is that the Hawks are in talks with the Boston Celtics about acquiring Gordon Hayward. I do not know how the numbers get to match up with the lack of big contracts on the books of the Atlanta Hawks to match Gordon Hayward's $32 million contract. They would have to combine Clint Capella, Dwayne Dedman, and a few of the young pieces to make it work. And I just don't know if it is worth the Hawks to gut their future to try to win now. And to go along with this is that they are reports that Rajon Rondo is expecting a big offer from the Atlanta Hawks. And I just don't know if this is the way to go. When you have a team of young pieces like Capella, John Collins, DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, Kevin Huerter, and Trae Young, I don't know if you want to mess with it at this point. You know, it's only 1-2 years together as a core group. And, you know, for Capella's sake, it hasn't even been half a season as he was injured part of it when he did come to Atlanta. And I feel like you would have to go into the season and, you know, run with that core group and see how things look in the meantime. And then, you know, if you don't like the product on the floor, then go ahead and make your moves. But, you know, if you're trading for Gordon Hayward and you lose Clint Capella, who you made a trade for, you lose Dwayne Dedman, you've lost all your front court debt. And if you have to trade away a Kevin Huerter or Cam Reddish, I think those more Cam Reddish than Kevin Huerter, I think he's a dispensable piece. Not that he's not a good player, but if you're picking out of DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, and him, he's definitely the one that you would be more willing to trade than the other two. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the Hawks do. Of course, Gordon Hayward is going to be a good player to have next to Trae Young. I just have my concerns about Gordon Hayward as he still just hasn't looked like the same player that we saw in Utah, especially after his injury a couple of seasons ago. And I just don't know if he's ever going to get back to that form. So it kind of scares me for the Hawks to, you know, go out and make such a big deal like this, and especially with the Rondo deal. He didn't play well during the regular season, but he was tremendous in the playoffs. I'll give him that. But why would you take the ball out of Trae Young's hands unless you just plan to bring Rondo off the bench? And I just don't know if that's the right way to go about this if you're the Atlanta Hawks. But I could be wrong, but that's my stance on it right now. The next biggest news includes the former MVP, Russell Westbrook, as he reportedly wants out of Houston. But where will he end up? Reports are that Westbrook wants to return to his role as the lead guy of an organization. But at his age and coming off an injury, who would be willing to sacrifice for maybe a couple of good years left? There have been reports that the Rockets are in trade talks to trade Westbrook to the Washington Wizards for John Wall, as the Rockets are also looking to get some assets from the Wizards as well. It would be great to watch Russell Westbrook play with Bradley Beal, especially with the evolution of Bradley Beal's game reaching new heights last season as he averaged 30 points per game. I think you could see a similar relationship on court chemistry with Westbrook and Bradley Beal to be similar to Westbrook and Kevin Durant. I'm not sitting here saying Bradley Beal is on the level of Kevin Durant, but I'm saying that Bradley Beal can work without the ball in his hands, but can also make plays off the dribble and in transition as well, just like KD did. And Westbrook can still be the point guard and quote-unquote dominate the ball throughout a majority of the game. I do worry about, always worry about Westbrook and being on a team that he's going to stunt the growth of young players. And when you look at the Washington Wizards, the most notable young piece that they have is Rory Hachimura. And hopefully, if Westbrook does go to the Wizards, that Hachimura is not, you know, just stationary as a three-point shooter and is still allowed to, you know, develop his game on the floor. And, you know, there's a lot of clouds, you know, over the Houston Rockets organization at the moment that we'll get to in the next segment. But, you know, John Wall and James Harden, it'd be a similar pairing to Westbrook and Harden, but I think John Wall is a lot more of a passer and IQ guy compared to Westbrook. I'm not saying Westbrook doesn't have a high IQ, so don't get me wrong. But I think he is a more willing passer and is willing to make the right plays at the end of games. And Westbrook at times is all about himself, wrong, right, or indifferent about it. And so that pairing might actually work better than the Westbrook-Harden pairing. And I also think that, you know, John Wall's a better shooter, so there's going to be a little bit more gravity towards him that will leave Harden open more. And John Wall still has the ability to attack the rim and has the speed and quickness to help the Rockets play in transition, even if it is a little bit of a tweak in their offensive system with their new head coach, Steven Silas. And now we're here with the biggest news so far, the biggest rumors of what is an early NBA offseason is the big question mark on if James Harden is going to get traded. And if so, is it going to be in Brooklyn or is it going to be in Philadelphia? The Brooklyn Nets have moved up the list for him, but there have been reports that some Nets players are reluctant on bringing Harden to Brooklyn. The other teams mentioned have been the Philadelphia Sixers and the Miami Heat, but the Nets seem to be prepared to throw the kitchen sink to the Rockets without including Kyrie or KD. So a package of Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jarrett Allen, Torian Prince, and draft compensation would probably be the starting point for the Brooklyn Nets in their trade talks with the Houston Rockets. You know, I don't know how this would fit with three ball-dominant players. I think, you know, any superstar can play with Kevin Durant because of how well he does off the ball in terms of, you know, shooting off of screens and attacking off of, you know, pin downs, baseline doubles, you know, flare screens, everything like that. I think any player can play with a player who is able to score in that fashion. But I just don't know where the fit is with Kyrie and James Harden, two very ball-dominant guards who at times probably wouldn't want to defer to each other, especially in those big moments. Not taking anything from Durant. He's one of the top three players in the league, but he's willing to defer to other players in big moments. But he's also very prepared and ready for the big moments as well, as we've seen him perform very well in the NBA Finals. And you can sit here and, you know, chip away at him because he was with the Golden State Warriors and he was playing with Curry and Thompson. So he didn't have to worry about double teams and stuff like that. But he still put up numbers. There's some guys that do have good teammates that crumble under that pressure. And so I give, you know, my hats off to him for producing in the NBA Finals so far in his career. So my main concern is just, would Kyrie and Harden been able to play next to each other? And obviously one of the biggest question marks for them would be who's going to play defense in that backcourt. Harden is a very good, post defender. He does pretty well in isolation situations, but I think that's also a credit to the team he's had around him, as he's had a bunch of wings that can defend very well and shot the ball very well. So that wasn't having to be one of his main focuses on the court. Personally, for me, I would rather see Harden in Philadelphia with Joel Embiid. As the Sixers trade Simmons to the Houston Rockets, I feel like that duo would be one of the best in the league, if not the second best, behind LeBron James and Anthony Davis, because it would be somewhat similar. You have a perimeter-oriented player who can attack the basket at any time he wants, gets the free throw line, can knock down perimeter shots, and you have a dominant post player who can, you can work pick and roll with. He can, bring out the big to the three-point line. He can score off the bounce. He can score in the mid-post. Very similar to Anthony Davis. The biggest question mark, obviously, for Embiid is his injuries and if he's able to stay healthy. But I would be more, interested in watching James Harden and Joel Embiid play together than watching Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden play together. And that wraps it up for this episode of the Back 'Em Down podcast. I hope everyone enjoyed the show. If you want to become a monthly contributor to the show, please click the link at the bottom of the show notes. Tomorrow we got the NBA draft. It's going to be very interesting to see what trades are pulled off between now and then, but also during the draft and seeing, what surprises we might have in terms of, draft picks and, who's going to be the steals of the draft. And that's going to be some of the, coverage I'm going to be bringing in these next few days and weeks as we, work our way back into the NBA season starting on December 22nd. So I want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Back 'Em Down podcast. Take care.